What's going down, everybody? This is Kevin Parr, your host for Rated Parr Reviews. It is Monday, February 26th. It has been a while, but I am back, and I'm about to give you your movie news rundown for the day. So a lot happened in the world of movie news over this past week, but none is probably more important than the sudden heart attack that came about to Kevin Smith recently. Famous indie director, creator of comic book men. He owns an empire of podcasts that if you don't listen to, you should go over to iTunes and listen to them immediately. Hollywood Babylon. He's got his own Kevin Smith channel that has tons of different content on it. And this man, who I've been a fan of for a long time, suffered a major heart attack and had to be hospitalized over the last couple days. He was shooting a Netflix comedy special out in Glendale, and he did the first show and wasn't feeling good. His chest felt heavy. He apparently vomited in his dressing room. His friends called the ambulance, got him out of there right quick. But no one can explain this situation better than Kevin Smith, so I'm going to try to quickly retell a post that he put up on his Instagram account, which says as follows: I was trying to do a killer stand-up special this evening, but I might have gone too far. After the first show, I felt kind of nauseous. I threw up a little bit, but it didn't seem to help. Then I started sweating buckets and my chest felt heavy. Turns out I had a massive heart attack. The doctor saved my life at the Glendale Hospital, told me I had 100% blockage of my LAD artery, also known as the Widowmaker, because when it goes, you're a goner. If I hadn't canceled the second show to go to the hospital, the doc said I would have died tonight. For now, I'm still above ground, but this is what I learned about myself during this crisis. Death was always the thing that I was most terrified of in life. When the time came, I never imagined I'd ever be able to die with dignity. I assumed I'd die screaming like my dad, who lost his life to a massive heart attack. But even as they cut into my groin to slip a stent into the lethal Widowmaker, I was filled with a sense of calm. I've had a great life, loved by parents who raised me to become the individual I am. I've had a weird, wonderful career in all sorts of media, amazing friends, the best wife in the world, and an incredible daughter who made me a dad. But as I stared into the infinite, I realized I was relatively content. Yes, I'd missed life as it moved on without me, and I was bummed we weren't going to get to make Jigsaw and Bob reboot before I shuffled loose the mortal coil, but generally speaking, I was okay with the end, and if this was going to be it, I've gone to do so many cool things and I've had so many adventures, how could I be shitty about finally paying the tab? But the good folks at the Glendale Hospital had other plans and expertise to mend me. Total strangers saved my life tonight. This is all part of my mythology now, and I'm sure I'll be facing some lifestyle changes. Maybe it's time to go vegan, but the point of this post is to tell you that I faced my greatest fear tonight, and I wasn't as bad as I'd always imagined it'd be. I don't want my life to end, but if it ends, I can't complain. It was such a gift. So, surprise, surprise, DC Films is going through yet another piece of bad PR. This time, it's to do with Joss Whedon directing Batgirl for Warner Brothers. Joss Whedon came onto the project, I think he was announced a few months ago. Reportedly, he jumped on the project officially about a year ago. But this piece of news came out just this past week that The Hollywood Reporter has come out with an article saying that Joss Whedon has dropped out of the Batgirl film. Joss Whedon's statement in the piece is a little gray. I'll just let you listen and you can figure it out for yourself. But he said in the article, "Batgirl is such an exciting project, and DC/Warner Brothers are such collaborative and supportive partners that it took me months to realize I didn't really have a story. I'm grateful to Jeff and Toby and everyone who was so welcoming when I arrived and so understanding when is there a sexier word for failed?" So that's the statement he gave in the article, first off. The article then goes on to say, industry sources added that even as Whedon faced story issues, in today's cultural entertainment environment, a male filmmaker may have had faced greater public scrutiny if he were to have tackled a movie with such feminist importance such as Batgirl or Wonder Woman, much like a white filmmaker would have seen backlash if they were to take on the Black Panther movie. Now, keep this in mind. Joss Whedon was probably given the project before all this controversy came out that he was abusive to his ex-wife or verbally abusive to his ex-wife in some way, shape, or fashion, that he cheated on her. I can't really remember at this time what the issue was, but there is this sort of dark cloud over the Whedonverse on how he treats women. So I'm guessing that all this is BS, that he was put on the project before this bad PR came out on him. The fact that he can't find a story for Batgirl is just plain stupid, since this is the guy that gave us Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, you could argue that maybe every story he could ever have come up with was poured into Buffy, and there's not one piece of content that he could think about doing for a Batgirl story, which is also being reported also not true, because Variety came out with a story saying that Joss Whedon was actually looking to give us an adaptation of a Batgirl origin story from the old 60s comics titled The Million Dollar Debut of Batgirl, in which this was going to be the synopsis for that adaptation. Barbara Gordon was a brainy librarian with a brown belt in judo. She was nothing like her teenage predecessor, Betty Kane, who relished being a hero. In fact, the daughter of Police Commissioner Gordon only donned a Batgirl costume for a policeman's masquerade ball. However, when she stumbled upon an attempt on the life of millionaire Bruce Wayne by Killer Moth, Barbara sprang into action, fending off the attackers and feeling a crime-fighting spirit awaken within her. The spirit awakened again following what appeared to be Wayne's murder at the hands of the Killer Moth. Unfortunately, Batgirl soon discovered that Wayne was a dummy set up by Batman and Robin to draw out Killer Moth, and her arrival had interfered with the operation. Though dejected, Batgirl quickly made amends for her rookie mistakes, tracking Killer Moth to his hideout and rescuing the dynamic duo from a gravity-free chamber that made them helpless targets. She had been wearing perfume during their previous tussle and had some rubbed off on Killer Moth. She was even able to scent down the criminal mastermind when he attempted to evade capture. The Caped Crusader told the impressive Batgirl that he would welcome her help whenever the need arose, though she wasn't the type to wait for an invitation. Furthermore, she was intent on refuting the perception of the weaker sex and refused to take a back seat to anyone. So, let's just say for a minute that this was going to be the story that they were going to take. I'm thinking that trying to fit that storyline into the current DCEU would not work. I mean, would it be with Ben Affleck as Batman? Is it going to be the supposed new Batman? Like, I don't know. I feel like that was just the wrong way to go and that it should have been handled in a different way. I mean, there's so many Batgirl stories that you could pick that are a bit more, I don't know, relevant or modern than this, than just Batgirl showing up and like being like, yeah, I'm just as good as you guys. I don't know. I just don't really buy it. But needless to say, Joss Whedon is out, which was probably the stupidest thing you could do. I mean, I guess because he's got the Buffy stuff behind him, that was a good move moving forward. But because all of this bad PR came out on him and how he treats women, apparently, wrong move. I hope they find a strong, awesome female director to take this on now and bring it home for everybody. Great news for all you Dark Tower fans out there. Amazon is moving forward with a TV series that is now going to be in development. Let's just get this out of the way right now. The Dark Tower movie was a huge flop. It sucked. It really did. Starred Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey, and it just completely missed the target on what the novels were about, what the spirit of the books were, the characters and the details that everyone wanted to see from those stories. They just completely missed the point and made it a very generic adventure film that had no real stakes or drama in it whatsoever. But now Amazon is going to be making it into a television series, which for this project in general, when they greenlit the film, that was always kind of the plan. They were going to make a trilogy of films, and then in between those films, there was going to be a television show, and it was all going to be connected. But obviously, the movie part of that plan fell, but they are moving forward with a TV show, and it has landed now on Amazon. Which also, Amazon, as far as TV is concerned, has a lot of exciting projects coming up the pipeline. It includes a Lord of the Rings series, a series based on Ian M. Banks' sci-fi culture book series, another show based on Terry Pratchett's Discworld, and an adaptation of Neil Stevenson's Snow Crash, which is an amazing book. The director of the film, his name's Nikolaj Arcel, and he's also helping to develop the TV series. And in a recent article, he gave some insight into what the TV show will be about. He said that the show will dive back into the books, specifically Wizard and Glass and the Gunslinger. He also went on to say it's being written. I was part of the writing the pilot, like the first season ideas and the pilot and the second episode. It's going to be awesome. What was exciting about that, whereas with the film, we were really trying to create an introduction and make a standalone film that could sort of live in itself. But what was also exciting working on the TV show at the same time, that is totally canon. He also went on to say, we're going back into the past. It's very, very closely adhering to the Wizard and Glass novel and parts of the Gunslinger novel. That was exciting to be even more like, okay, now we're going to be able to even lift lines directly or like write characters exactly as they are, which as a fan was exciting in a different way. So that right there tells you they're going for dedication. They are going to be very they're going to adhere to the books this time and give something the fans are really looking forward to. What about you guys? Are you excited about a Dark Tower TV show? Comment, let me know. Well, guys, it looks like hell has frozen over because there is a movie in development as we speak about the man who created Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yeah, it's a thing. So right away, okay, I kind of was putting the cart before the horse there because the story of how this guy, Richard Montanez, created the Flamin' Hot Cheetos brand is actually pretty cool and would actually make a pretty fun movie. Fox Searchlight is right now producing this film. It is going to be a biopic of sorts about this guy who pretty much came from nothing to be one of the biggest billion-dollar corporate executives in the country and is a pioneer of what is being called multicultural marketing. Here is a synopsis for Montanez's story as follows. The son of an immigrant who grew up as a migrant farm worker picking grapes in the fields of Southern California before becoming a janitor at Frito-Lay. It was while working at the company that Montanez came up with the idea to create Flaming Hot Cheetos, transforming the Frito-Lay brand into a pop culture phenomenon and disrupting the entire food industry in the process. Now commonly referred to as the godfather of multicultural marketing, it was the initial idea that would spark a billion-dollar brand and catapult him from janitor to elite corporate executive. Holy shit, that story is fire. I mean, we've seen tons of stories like this that directors have done beautifully, but can you imagine that story maybe given to like Adam McKay or, you know, somebody who can give a bit of a comedic element, but also create that drama, create that story? Like, can you imagine like Wolf of Wall Street style of someone growing up and coming from nothing to being a rich executive? And like the Hot Flaming Cheetos brand is actually huge. Like, I think just recently there was a fashion show where this famous fashion designer actually made purses out of Flaming Cheetos bags. Like, it's insane. If you go on Google right now and search this guy's name, you're going to find a lot of crazy ways this guy was able to market this snack food into the cultural zeitgeist. I mean, that's insane that someone's making a movie about the guy that made Flaming Hot Cheetos, but I'm just happy that the story behind it is actually super interesting and one that I'm going to be really looking forward to seeing how this comes out. apparently Twitter not only can make you famous, can change your life with just the stroke of a few characters, but apparently it can also get you acting work, because an exchange of tweets recently happened that may or may not connect Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself, into possibly gaining a role in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. This is, of course, not official in any way, shape, or form, but a series of tweets have gone back and forth between director James Gunn and Mark Hamill, suggesting that he wants to join his film, Volume 3, of Guardians. And this came about when Ian Free messaged Gunn on Twitter saying, "Could you do me a huge favor and find a role for Mark Hamill in Guardians 3? The awesomeness of it might end me, but I'm willing to risk it. Thanks." James Gunn replied, "I think Mark Hamill lives around the corner from me in Malibu, so he can just come over and we can talk about it over a cup of coffee." Mark Hamill then replied, "I would be happy to do so, both as a good neighbor and an unemployed actor. All the best." "Haha, let's do it," replied Gunn. Mark Hamill then replied, "DM me for my contact info if you're serious. Brackets, and a good neighbor. XOXO. James Gunn, "Yes, I will, although I don't think your DMs are on for me." Mark Hamill, "Just followed you. Is that how DMs work?" I mean, how awesome would that be to see Mark Hamill in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3? Obviously, Guardians is hugely inspired by Star Wars. That's a no-brainer. But also, Mark Hamill, having just come off a great performance in The Last Jedi, with his film career, you know, starting to get some fire and breathing new life into it, a move into a Marvel movie would be insane. And you know that when you're watching that movie with a packed house, all those nerds salivating, as soon as Mark Hamill comes on, even if it's not even for a speaking role, if he just does his whole Luke Skywalker grumpy stare from Last Jedi and throws a lightsaber over his shoulder, I mean, I would even take that and cheer with everybody else, just like in every Marvel movie, you cheer that Stan Lee appears on screen, even if it's a good cameo or not. You just love seeing the guy. So I hope this becomes, you know, less of a fun, jokey Twitter exchange and actually leads to him being cast in Guardians 3, because that would be something I would love to see. Okay, guys, those bongos mean that is the end of this episode. I want to thank you all out there for favoring the station, continuing to listen, even though I can't seem to do the daily thing with Anchor. I think I am going to dedicate 2 to 3 days a week to do movie news updates, just because it allows me more time to accumulate movie news, gives you guys a lot of content in one go, rather than just doing a quick, you know, 5-minute podcast type thing. I like to really give you a lot in one go. So again, thank you everyone for listening. And as always, put down the remote and go watch a motherfucking movie.